A moving line of stars forms a circle around the top of a snow-capped mountain. The Paramount logo. A Viacom company. Touchstone Pictures and Paramount Pictures. As the evening sun starts to dip behind the horizon, a horse gallops through a wheat field. A wooden shack stands alone on a hillside. An Interscope Communications production. In the distance, the chestnut horse with its rider dressed in white speeds across a meadow. It's a young woman with long brown hair in a white wedding dress, her tulle veil billowing out behind her. Over a stream, across more fields, using her bouquet as a crop. Her veil catches on a fence post and is left behind. The woman pulls on the reins and looks around as if undecided where to go next. She bends forward and urges the horse on, in association with Lakeshore Entertainment. Leaning into the horse's head, she directs the animal into a wood, almost hidden by the dense trees. Early autumn red and gold leaves are dappled by the afternoon sun streaming through the branches. As the woman gallops relentlessly on, the horse's hooves pounding the floor of the wood. As horse and rider emerge from the wood, the title, Runaway Bride. The bride's bouquet plummets out of a cloudless blue sky. A grey stone building in New York, below, men are digging a hole.
Fisher, pick up. Fisher, it's me. Fisher, pick up. I'm late. Come on, come on. I need to bounce some ideas off. Mine are all boring. Done it, been there.
Hey, Ike!
When are you guys going to stop waking me up every morning?
When your column stops putting me to sleep.
Oh, funny.
Yo, Jonah!
Fisher, come on. Are you really not there? All right, cool. I'll talk to you later.
To a blonde woman.
Excuse me, I think I'm doing an article about limousines. What do you think about people who've never been in one?
I'm sorry, I don't know people like that.
I just need someone to bounce some ideas off of and get the juices flowing. And I got 1 hour, 27 minutes, 52 seconds.
Hey, Ike, when are you going to put me in the column?
When your T-shirt stops shrinking.
Shrinks?
Funny.
Oh, forget it.
He's kidding, he's just kidding. Hey, give me $5. Hey, give me $2.
No way.
Oops, I got nice shirts here, look. I love everybody. You're next.
In a dimly lit bar, a dart lands on a board. On the walls, black and white photos of Einstein, Joyce. A dart hits the light above the board. Among the photos is one of Ike Graham smiling. Ike, in his early 40s, is hunched over the bar with a dark-haired woman.
So what's in store for us in tomorrow's column?
I don't know yet. I'm kind of a last-minute man. Until an hour or two before a deadline, I don't get any ideas.
So you get your ideas for your column from life. Start up a conversation with a woman in a bar, attack her dart playing, and try to get a rise out of her while you contemplate whether or not she's worth hitting on.
No, I can't hit on you until I get an idea.
Ooh, that's flattering.
No, you don't understand.
I understand. See, my not responding to you baiting me will inspire one of those bitter diatribes you like to write about women.
I don't write bitter diatribes about women.
Oh.
Very often.
Mm-hmm.
I could.
Only when the ideas aren't flowing, huh? It's so nice to meet you, One Minute Man.
It's Last Minute Man.
Whatever.
Nose in the air, the woman leaves.
Want to hear something funny? For a good-looking guy, you strike out a lot. Have you noticed that?
Ike shoots the barman a look.
I bet it's your ex-wife.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
I've seen much worse.
Oh, hey, Ellie.
A bearded man addresses Ike.
Oh. Ike's not here.
I say, I've seen much worse.
Ike looks puzzled.
Excuse me?
The brush off. I've witnessed far more treacherous and nefarious exits than that. At least she castigated you in private.
Not as private as I thought. Kevin, you got some napkins there?
Wiping or writing?
I'll let you know.
They love you, they hate you. They're hot, they're cold, they're high, they're low.
They're up, they're down. You know, this is really fun making a list with you, but I do have a column to write here.
But you have yet to find a really superb idea. There's a girl from my hometown that you could write about.
Excuse me, but we don't need any ideas.
She likes to dump grooms right at the altar. They call her the Runaway Bride. She's performed the travesty 7 or 8 times. Turns around, runs like hell, bolts. Adios, plows down the aisle, knocking old ladies out of her way like the running of the bulls in Pamplona. And guess what?
She's got the next victim all lined up. She's turning another body on the spit.
At his flat.
Okay, Italics, here we go.
Ike at his desk, watched by his fluffy cat, Italics.
Today is a day of profound introspection. I have been accused of using this column to direct bitter diatribes at the opposite sex. This uncomfortable accusation has plunged me into at least 15 minutes of serious reflection, from which I have emerged with the conclusion that, yes, I traffic in female stereotypes.
A female reader throws down her paper.
But how can one blame me when every time I step out my front door, I meet fresh proof that the female archetypes are alive and well? The mother, the virgin, the whore, the crone, they're elbowing you in the subway, stealing your cabs, and overwhelming you with perfume in elevators.
Well, perhaps in fairness to the fair sex, I do need to broaden my horizon and add some new goddesses to the pantheon.
I would like to nominate for deity the cheerleader. Ah, the cheerleader, the co-ed, and the man-eater, the last of which concerns me most today.
In the bar.
In ancient Greece, this fearsome female was known as Aranis, the devouring death goddess. In India, she is Kali, who likes to devour her boyfriend Shiva's entrails while her yoni devours his dot, 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 and never mind. In Indonesia, the bloody-jawed man-eater is called Ragma.
You notice these are all countries without cable. And in Hale, Maryland, where she helps run the family hardware store, she's known as Miss Maggie Carpenter, Akka, the runaway bride.
What is unusual about Miss Carpenter is that she likes to dress her men up as grooms before she devours them.
One antique hot water handle with the hot still on it. Guaranteed to fit any American standard cast iron tub with a 4-inch cinder mount. Made between 1924 and 1938. In other words, Mr. Paxton, I think you are out of the doghouse with Mrs. Paxton.
Hallelujah.
I'll see you later. I'll put on your charge.
You know, there's a possibility she hasn't seen this yet. I mean, maybe she just hasn't picked up a paper, know what I mean?
Two of Maggie's friends.
Or not.
Maggie.
Earl, you don't need an air conditioner. You need an attic fan. There's more in the back, huh?
Maggie grins at the two women,
hey,
who look at her with embarrassment.
What?
So, Meg, you've seen this, huh?
Pointing to the paper.
Yes, I've seen it. And it is the rudest, most offensive joke anyone has ever played on me. You guys, how long did this take you? Where did you get it done? You're both creeps, by the way. I should disinvite you.
Maggie, you told us no bachelorette jokes, so we didn't...
Peggy, the younger woman, shakes her head lamely. Maggie gives her a strangely calm, sideways look.
Holy moly.
Bag. She's going.
Bag!
She's gonna go.
Here's the bag. Breathe!
Later, wearing red boxing gloves, Maggie takes it out on a punch bag in her flat. Her brown dog, Skipper, trots into the room.
Ooh.
And leaves. Giving the bag a final kick, she tears off her gloves and rips the article off the wall.
And on the local front, our town of Hale, Maryland is still buzzing about the less than flattering article about their native daughter, Maggie Carpenter. Her bridal exploits were taken to task by New York columnist Ike Graham in USA Today. Mr. Graham called her.
Maggie switches off the radio.
Dear editor, greetings from the sticks. Perhaps you believe that a rural education is focused mainly on hog calling and tractor maintenance rather than reading. Why else would you print a piece of fiction about me and call it fact?
In New York, a woman whacks Ike over the head with her paper.
I suppose Mr. Graham was too busy thinking up slanderous statements about how I dump men for kicks to bother with something silly like accuracy in reporting. Which is understandable, because with a man-eater like me on the loose, who has time to check facts?
Ike's office.
Hey, Francis, lunch today?
No, I'm going to bed.
Sure?
Sorry.
To another girl, Elaine.
Hey.
I'm going to put in a good word for you.
No, that's okay. Don't mention my name in there.
That's why I was surprised to find Mr. Graham's editor was a woman. Call me a sentimental fool, but I sort of hoped we man-eaters could stick together.
Anyway, I'm just dropping you big city folk this little note to say that I have thought of a ritual sacrifice that would satisfy my current appetite. Ike Graham's column on a platter. Yours truly, Maggie Carpenter. P.S. I have enclosed a list of the gross factual misrepresentations in your article. There are 15.
The editor removes her specs.
Funny. I like her. She's got spunk.
Ike, look. She sent us this list. Our lawyers say it's actionable. I left you 4 messages. You don't return my calls.
So? I never returned your calls. Even when we were married, I didn't return you. And what's Fisher doing here anyway?
Oh, Ellie asked me to come down to offer moral support.
Since when does Ellie need moral support?
It's for you, Ike.
Fisher squeezes Ellie's shoulder. Ike looks from one to the other.
What? What?
Journalism lesson number one. If you fabricate your facts, you get fired.
Lesson number two. Never work for your former spouse.
That has nothing to do with it. You cook this story up and you know it.
I did not cook anything up. I had a source.
Someone reliable? Some booze hound in a bar?
In vino veritas.
Hey, don't knock drunk guys in bars. It means they're not driving. Besides, I am a columnist. This is what columnists are supposed to do. It's what you like. We push, we stretch, we go out on a limb. That's what makes me good.
No, that's what makes you unemployed.
Ellie's arms are firmly folded.
All right, let's consider that my wrist has been slapped, all right? There. Slap it. Go ahead. Just slap my wrist. That's done. Just give me a call when, you know, you feel that I've served my time.
He stands before her like a schoolboy waiting for her judgment.
This is permanent, Ike.
Ike swallows hard.
If you go quietly, I'll get you severance pay.
He blinks and turns to go, watched by his goatee-bearded friend, Fisher. Ike gives a wry smile as he shuts the glass door. The letters USA Today behind him.
I'm sorry, Ike.
Ike gives Elaine a salute. Geese fly in formation across a pale sky. A boy on a bike tosses a newspaper into the front garden of a small house by a railway line, with a red truck parked in front. Maggie, in checked shirt and shorts, hair in a ponytail, bounds down her white wooden steps, pulls the paper out of its cover, and turns to an inside page. A smile spreads across her face.
Bob! Honey!
In the kitchen!
Bob, with a backpack.
Honey, she canned him! Honey! Bob, she canned him!
Hey, what are you talking
about? Okay, listen, it's in the paper.
Okay, come on, try this on first.
Okay. All right. I don't want to read it to you, so come over this way.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Maggie Carpenter. I apologize to you for this unfortunate matter. Here it is. Ike Graham's column will no longer be appearing in this paper. Best of luck in your upcoming marriage.
Hey, okay, this is the weight of the pack you'll be carrying in the Himalayas.
Okay.
You let me know if it's too heavy.
Okay. We'll adjust. Whoa! Ah! A little, yeah. Yeah, a little heavy, maybe.
Bob leaps on her on the floor of the kitchen.
Okay.
Ike is at home.
Yeah, hi, it's me. Leave a message after the beep if you want to leave a fax. Buy me a fax machine.
Ike, Fisher, get up. I can turn this runaway bride story around. I'm doing a photo spread for GQ today by the conveyor belt. Meet me. I'll save your tush.
Ike has met up with Fisher.
And since I do freelance stuff for GQ now, I have an idea, you see?
What are you saying?
Vindication. How would you like some? A chance to prove that although your story wasn't entirely factual, your theory was correct.
The real story, Miss Carpenter.
All the gory details.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if she runs again, you got a cover story.
A fiery red maple tree by a white picket fence, bordering green grass. Ike, in sunglasses and leather jacket, is at the wheel of his open-top car, driving down a wooded Maryland country road. A flock of birds shimmer past him as he drives by reddish-brown fields and over the same small stream the runaway bride crossed when she made her escape on horseback. He passes a sign saying, "Welcome to Hale." He drives slowly down the main street. A sign for the hardware store catches his eye. On the door, he sees a small blackboard with "At Curl, Be Back Soon, Mag" chalked on it. Triplets in blue hats and coats are wheeled along in their three-seater pram. A blonde woman leads a little girl on a pony along the pavement, past a small boy on a wooden rocking horse. Ike passes the Falcon Diner and drives on to a corner hotel and stops the car.
Here you go. Right upstairs to the left.
Thanks. How late's the restaurant open?
8:30 every night.
That late, huh?
Carrying an overnight bag, Ike goes upstairs as Lee, the receptionist, puts on a virtual reality headset and starts to sway to whatever he's seeing. At Curl's Beauty Parlor.
Cindy, can you 86 Sprout? He's looking up all the petroleum distillates I'm trying to put in.
Oh, sorry. She's an obedience school dropout.
Maggie.
Have a seat.
Is mending one of the salon's chairs outside a barbershop quartet.
Thank you.
Ike joins in the applause as he wanders along the porticoed pavement and across the street towards the curl up and dye salon. Inside, Maggie is lying on the floor in front of the swinging chair.
You're a goddess. You're a goddess.
Shazam, I think I'm in Mayberry.
I didn't even have to change the gasket. I just put in some new hydraulic fluid.
Stop it! When you talk like that, it turns me out and frightens me.
Oh, you turn a girl's head.
Whoa! Excuse me. Hello. Hello, excuse me. Could you help? I'm looking for Maggie Carpenter. There was a note on the door of the hardware store across the street.
Are you a reporter?
What?
It's just been our experience that anyone who comes in here with tassels on his loafers is a big city reporter wanting to do an interview with Maggie.
Mm-hmm. About her upcoming wedding and all.
Actually, about her getting that asshole from New York fired.
Peggy gives a satisfied smile.
I am just such a reporter. And who are you?
Peggy Fleming. Not the ice skater.
Hey,
come in.
Thank you. And who are these lovely ladies?
Hi, I'm Cindy, Maggie's unmarried cousin.
No.
Mrs. Pressman, no relation.
Maggie's hiding behind the chair.
And you are?
Looking for Maggie.
Maggie, someone to see you.
Peggy addresses the chair. Ike bends down.
Oh.
Just as Maggie starts to get up, she straightens and looks awkwardly at Ike, who smiles at her.
I hope you've got a new angle, because it's all pretty much been covered. Hold on. No one interviews Maggie in here without a haircut.
Sorry, no. Just got one.
Excuse me, sir. I have a fact for you. It's an actual fact.
Yes, Miss Pressman.
You know, this is actually her fourth wedding, not her seventh, like they said.
I know. But tell me something. Do you think she's going to make it all the way this time?
I don't know.
Peggy chokes after Maggie shows her Ike's picture.
She swallowed her gum. She does that. Mr. Shillian, he runs the newsstand. He's also our local bookie, you know?
Yes.
He's given 8-1 odds that she won't.
Okay.
Instead of a haircut, how about a wash? Get all that city grit out of your hair.
You'll answer my questions?
Smiling, Maggie and Peggy nod. Ike shrugs.
Fine. You wash, I'll ask.
So, very good idea. What do you want to know?
When's the big day?
A week from Sunday. Let's just put this up here like this, because
okay,
this aromatherapy can get a little strong. The lavender, we don't want to put you to sleep.
You nervous?
No, I've never been more certain of anything in my life. Except I've been having all kinds of weird dreams.
Would you like to tell me about them?
Yeah, sure. And another one.
Hey, Pete, I'll be right with you.
Okay.
I go inside the church and everyone I know is there. And the creepiest part is I look down at my dress and it's red. I don't know what that means. Red is not my color.
Ike has multicolored hair.
What do you think?
I think you'd look good in red.
No.
Maggie swings Ike round to face the mirror.
About your hair.
Ike stares at his reflection. The women giggle. He stands up, grinning, and runs his fingers through his punk hair. A local man watches, bemused.
My jacket, please.
Peggy hands it to him. He turns to the man.
Excuse me, sir. Do you know where I could get some shampoo? Some strong shampoo.
Doc's Pharmacy, 3rd and Elm. Tell him Pete sent you. You want my hat?
No, I'm fine. You might need it.
From the door, Ike looks back at his smiling tormentors and leaves. Outside, a woman turns to stare at Ike.
Mr. Graham, if you're looking for Elm Street, it's that way.
Maggie puts on sunglasses as he passes her.
Thank you.
You know, if you came down here in the pursuit of happiness, you might as well go back, because you can't make me feel bad.
Look, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm here for vindication. In my heart, I feel I'm right about you.
Mm.
You got me fired, lady. You destroyed my reputation, and you screwed up my hair. You chew up men, spit them out, and love it. You're going to do the same thing to this poor schmuck number 4 that you did to the previous 3. You're going to run again. I'm not leaving until you do.
I'd love to stay and chat, but I still have my job.
Maggie, in dungarees and shirt, walks away, leaving Ike with a wry smile on his face. A boy in a hat rides his bike along the pavement past him.
Hey, wait a minute. Give me $10 for the hat.
Sure.
That's right.
Ike pulls the fabric hat over his hair, looks at himself in a shop window, and turns away in despair. A grey-haired woman thumps him on the shoulder with her rolled paper. Later, Maggie arrives home. Indoors, her beagle Skipper stands next to a carved beagle side table.
I'm telling you, that is a photo opportunity.
You know, when I only see one dog, I know I've had too much to drink.
Maggie's dad, Walter.
Hey, you'll never guess who came crawling into town with his tail between his legs.
Who? Hello, Maggie. I just came over to apologize to your family. You know, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I pushed a story. I made a mistake.
In other words, he's only human. And he brought us a bottle of wine.
Maggie is unimpressed.
He made me put my hat back on.
Yeah, scared the hell out of Skipper.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, you should have seen Skipper. He's like...
Bob pulls her towards him.
Wasn't that funny?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it's been quite amusing. Walter here has been sharing his father of the bride wedding memories.
You know what?
She picks up the bottle of wine.
I think I'll take this to the kitchen.
She motions for Bob to follow her.
I'll help you bring it in to the kitchen.
Check on the crabs, Bob.
Okay.
Is he staying for dinner?
I don't know. They don't have a fight in there. You don't think they'd call it off, do you?
Wedding cake freezes, this we know.
You know, your daughter is such a...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. That's fine. That's fine. She's such a lovely girl.
Yeah. Well, like her mother. Look. May she rest in peace. We were all so proud of Maggie when she was in school. She won that American Legion scholarship to college.
She studied industrial design.
I can't see her leaving multiple grooms in the dust like that.
Oh, yes, you can. She's got it all on tape.
Ike turns to Grandma, mending Maggie's veil.
Tape?
Yeah, they're all right there.
You got tapes of the wedding?
Yeah, well, Lee at the hotel videos weddings.
Uh-huh.
Of course, Maggie didn't know she was going to be running the 100-yard dash. I gotta say this for my daughter, she makes real good time.
Bingo.
Maggie may not be Hale's longest running joke, but she is certainly the fastest.
Ha ha.
Walter hammers a crab claw.
You know, Maggie's mom and I were only blessed with one child. Not for a lack of trying.
Oh, this is good, Dad. Don't leave anything out.
Ike loses his hammer.
I frankly consider it a bonus.
Ike retrieves his hammer.
But I'm actually able to plan and pay for so many weddings.
Not this one. This one's on me.
Ike sits back down.
Oh, that's fair.
I don't do it on purpose, despite what you may think, and I have no intention of doing it again.
That's right, Maggie. Just keep your eye on the ball. Mm-hmm.
Ike watches with amusement.
Sports psychology.
Bob is the head of the PE department at the high school. And he coaches the football team. Mm. And he's climbed Everest.
Ike, hammer in hand.
Everest?
Twice.
Is it true?
Without oxygen.
My girl, she likes to brag about me.
Bob leans over to kiss Maggie.
Maggie's training for our wedding night. I'm taking her trekking on Annapurna for our honeymoon.
Oh, how romantic.
We think so.
Nothing like sharing your nuptial bed with two Sherpas and a yak.
Fisher on an exercise bike.
Hey, Ike! How's it going?
You won't believe what I'm looking at here. I got a video of all three train wrecks.
Here's my bride. Who's my pride? I'll never hide when she's by my side. This is for you, Maggie, my sugar magnolia.
The Gil Chavez wedding video.
You want the truth? You want the facts? I got them.
Showing Maggie with hair in long bunches and a rock musician groom.
Yeah, I'll send you a copy of the notes. Good weekend reading for you. Yeah, bye. And love to Elliot. Okay, bye.
Ike looks back at the video screen at Maggie's back view. Her lacy dress scooped low and a rose tattooed between her shoulder blades. She waves at her guests and starts to bounce on a small trampoline and forward into the arms of the guests. Grinning, Maggie is carried on her back, arms outstretched towards her long-haired groom, who pulls her up on stage. Peggy, hair in bunches, clutches a tambourine. Maggie, with three white marguerites on the front of her hair, smiles, turns towards Peggy, and stops smiling. She's hesitating.
Okay, preacher man, let's go.
She does a runner.
Maggie, where are you going?
Sam!
Maggie!
Sam, wait, get back on the bike, get back
okay.
on the bike!
Okay, but how was the wedding?
Shorter than we planned. Just go.
She gives the peace sign as Joe carries her off. In his room, Ike picks up the remote and spools forward to the Brian Norris wedding. the stained glass windows of a packed church. Ike, hair back to his normal silver, smiles as Peggy, the chief bridesmaid, appears at the back in a satin grey gown, clutching a small bouquet, followed by twin garlanded bridesmaids. Walter, in morning coat, nods to Grandma next to him and other guests along the same pew. Ike sits back as Maggie appears in demure white dress and veil, hair shoulder length, holding a white bouquet, smiling serenely. Behind her, a young page boy carries her train. Maggie's smile fades as she comes towards her fiancé at the altar, and head down, she keeps on walking.
Where's she going?
Look, she's leaving.
Where's she going?
She forgot her purse.
No, she didn't forget her purse.
Well, go after her, do something!
The page boy, dragged along the floor, hanging onto Maggie's fleeing train, lets go. He shakes his head, as does Ike. The George Swilling wedding is set in autumnal woodland. Guests are dressed in white, as is Walter, who leads Maggie sitting side-saddle on a horse. Ike is transfixed as the horse walks down the aisle, flanked on both sides by guests holding green garlands and green and white floral arrangements mounted on white poles.
Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today. Could we hold the horse, please? What's wrong with the horse? The horse seems more jittery than the bride.
Maggie digs her foot into the horse's side as the musicians take their cue. The white-suited groom watches helplessly as his bride gallops out of the wood. He offers up the silver wedding belt. Maggie, in a cloud of tulle, leaves bridesmaids Peggy and Cindy comforting each other. Walter hands Mrs. Pressman some money, which she pockets, and Maggie gallops away. Outside the Trout Bakery, Ike sees Maggie's parked hardware truck. Inside, she's looking at wedding cake figurines.
I like the white tuxedo.
Yeah, but he's no good because he's too blonde.
All right. Well, then we just go something very traditional.
He's handsome. Yeah. Maybe a little too dark for Bob.
Well, he's got the Bobster's eyes. No, 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 no. No, Bobster's eyes closer set. Yeah. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Hi. Could I have two cups of coffee?
Yes.
And, what is that wonderful smell? The cinnamon rolls. Could I have two of
those?
Yeah,
sure.
Also? Thank you.
Okay. Maggie, I think this makes the best you. Okay.
Let's see. Look at that. Excuse me. Oh, look at that.
He holds a bride and groom in his hands.
Bam, 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 bam.
Oh, 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 help me, help me.
Groom beaten up by bride.
Yep, that'd be her.
You must be that Mr. Graham fella.
Yes, I am. You are.
I'm Betty Trout.
Hi, Betty. Okay. I guess you'll be the one making the cake.
Yes,
yeah.
I am.
And
sure.
And I'm also told that you will be throwing a...
I'm throwing the luau for Maggie.
Pre-wedding luau.
So if you're still in town, you should stop by.
No, he doesn't want to come.
I'd love to come.
He hits the bell.
I will be there. Thank you
so
much.
Is that what you're going to do now? Are you just going to follow me around everywhere I go?
No. I'll be back, Betty.
Bye, Mr. Graham.
He's not a nice person.
Well, I know.
That's my pick. The eyes are perfect.
Cheerleaders at a school football match.
We're the Comets, go, go, to hell! Let's go, Comets, let's go! Let's go, Comets, let's go!
Hi, Miss Carpenter.
Hey, Kendall.
Maggie's on the pitch.
Maggie! Don't marry Coach. Marry me. I love you.
You're jailbait, Dennis. Go away. Go away. Run your laps. Go. Go, go.
Ike is in the defense line eating a bagel.
Keep it low. Good job, gentlemen. Good job. All right, special teams. Special teams.
Hey, honey. How are
we? Oh, good.
She spots Ike.
What is he up to now?
I just dropped by to check out the team.
Huh? And to talk about you.
Yes.
You aren't making friends with this man, are you?
I'm just bragging about how good you are and how I'm the luckiest man alive.
Mm-hmm.
Bob and Maggie embrace again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I better be moving. Got a lot of work to do today. All right, see you two lovebirds later.
See you at the wedding.
Yeah, thanks for the jacket, Coach.
You invited him to the wedding?
Go, go, Comets. Let's go. Go, go, Comets.
Don't you realize that he's writing another article about me?
Well, sure I do, but you're not running. Go on.
Give me some of that homemade sunshine.
She hugs him.
Boris! Oh! Take my princess for a ride on her chariot.
The offense team push against Maggie's blocking sled. Bob grins affectionately. In a confessional.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was... Anyway, I have sort of a technical question. I've been having bad thoughts. Really bad thoughts.
Of an impure nature?
No. I want to destroy this man's life, career, everything. I want revenge. Now, on the sin scale, how bad is that? Can I Hail Mary my way out of that?
My child, any sin in one's heart
is... The name is Maggie. It was this side of 10 years ago you had your tongue down my throat, so don't my child me, Brian, okay? It annoys me.
Look, Mag, don't get so upset.
No, Brian, hey! Hey, Brian, talk to me! Brian, I need to talk to you.
Maggie. You're not even Catholic, so you really shouldn't be here.
I'm sorry. I'm just so stressed out about this slimeball reporter being in town, and I wanted to come and tell you that he might stop by here and ask you all kinds of ridiculous questions.
Well, he only actually asked me one ridiculous question, and the rest really weren't so bad.
What? Oh, you talked to him? Oh, did you tell him that we dated before you were a priest?
Of course. But, I think I only did you good.
What exactly did he ask?
I'm
too late, Father.
No.
It won't take long. Just do the nails.
A woman parishioner.
Just respectful things. What kind of music did you like? What did we have in common back then? Did you ruin my life when you left me at the altar?
Oh. What did you say?
I said, how could I be angry when this is clearly as God intended for it to be for me?
Good one. Thanks.
But actually, it's really, really how I feel.
Of course, God, yes, not God.
Brian smiles indulgently.
I better go. The man is a lunatic, but I think I know exactly where he's going next.
God bless.
She creeps along one of the pews.
Oh, purse.
She knocks on the door of the confessional.
Hi, sorry. Purse. Good luck. What was the one ridiculous question that he asked?
Oh, he wanted to know how you liked your eggs.
Oh. Weird. I'm like a person's gonna remember after all this time.
Scrambled with salt, pepper, and dill. Same as me.
Maggie looks back at Brian in his black priest jacket and white dog collar.
I'm sorry I hurt you, Brian.
Maggie, I'm happy now. Here, it's where I'm supposed to be. But... if you ever do decide to become a Catholic, will you do me this favor? Confess to Father Patrick?
Of course.
She beams at him and goes. Her red pickup truck pulls up at Gil's garage. Inside, Gil with short dark hair and a Grateful Dead t-shirt. And a yellow car up on a hydraulic lift.
Gil? Lydia?
Max! Hey, look! The tape? Remember? Radio City? Music hall concert when Jerry was on Ripple and I'm going like, dude, let me jam.
Yeah, Gil,
I'll play for you. Do you remember, Maggie, you were there.
Can you focus on me? There's this reporter who's making my life a living hell.
Okay.
And whatever you do, do not show him that picture of me from the concert in San Francisco. Okay? Can you... What is that?
Huh? Wait, San Francisco, wait, but we went there a few times and wanted pictures. Which picture? Because one time we had a flat tire, you remember?
That
we
Maggie Carpenter, topless, in a public arena.
Ike, in the yellow car, has the photo.
I see, it was a very chilly evening.
Ike sneers at Maggie, who glares at Gil and tries to snatch the photo from Ike.
You know, what's really interesting about this, though, is that you can't see... that rose tattoo on your back.
Oh, yeah. I bet me $50 and you don't still have it. I said, you're on, man. Maggie loved that thing. And Maggie, seriously, I mean, I could use $50.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie.
She tries again.
Look, I'm not going to show you guys anything. I am a soon-to-be married woman, so just... give me the
crap. I would love to give you this. Believe me, I would. Just give us a quick gander at that rose, and I'll gladly turn it over to you.
Fine. Fine, okay?
She lowers her shirt. There is no Rose Tattoo.
Right? Satisfied?
Completely.
Maggie, you got it removed?
Gil.
Gil, I'll go you double or nothing. It was a stick-on.
Maggie looks daggers at Ike.
Maggie?
And gives an embarrassed smile to Gil.
Gil, I am really, really afraid of needles. But that doesn't make me a bad person. I just...
Look. I think this man is heartbroken.
He's not.
I think I am.
No, you're not. You have your guitar and you have Lydia. You're not...
Maggie pulls the hoist lever.
We'll talk about this later, okay?
Ike starts to ascend. She grabs the photo and walks away from tattooed Gil.
Hey, Ike. What would Jerry do?
He'd play.
Jerry would play.
He would play.
Ike is playing acoustic guitar in a quartet on the covered porch of the Atlantic Hotel. Maggie in a cowboy hat and Peggy drive past.
Wow, there's Ike with the mayor and the police chief. Boy, he sure makes friends easy. That's pretty cool.
Unimpressed, Maggie drives on as Ike looks up. At a softball game, she and Peggy applaud as Corey Fleming scores a run. Ike appears in a baseball cap.
Hey, you're that reporter, right?
Yeah.
There he is again. Snoop Doggy Dog.
I'm going to marry Maggie someday.
Oh, really?
He's an attractive man. The vicious reporter is attractive.
What?
You're saying viciousness is attractive?
No, I'm not saying viciousness is attractive.
A blonde girl hits the ball. Bob waves at Ike.
You think that... Oh, okay, he's coming. Okay, I don't...
No.
Okay. Oh, Ike, don't leave. Okay, act natural.
Okay.
He can probably read lips.
Hey, the famous Swenson triplets. Give me 15. Yeah. Well done.
I will handle
don't
this.
Don't want my lips.
Okay?
God.
I will handle this.
Okay.
I won't say anything.
Okay.
Maggie dives away, leaving Peggy with gritted teeth.
Yeah, Corey!
Hey, Peggy Fleming.
Hey.
Not the ice skater.
Hey, that's Maggie Steve.
Yes, and this must be her beer, too.
Hey!
Hey, sweetie!
Is your husband out here?
Yeah.
This is Corey? Corey Fleming? He's a radio announcer here, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Have you heard his morning show, Wake Up with Flem?
Ike grins broadly.
Not yet.
Mrs. Pressman makes racing signals to Corey.
He actually made the All-Stars in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
He must be very proud of him.
Well, I didn't really know him back then. I mean, he was actually dating Maggie. At the time. I mean, he never really... I mean, they were never going to get engaged or anything.
No.
I mean, he just was just like... You know, sometimes he'd call her Magpie and it was really irritating.
Magpie.
But it, I don't know why I'm telling you this.
No, it's good. It's good.
Corey goes for a run. He dives for a corner in a cloud of dust and scores. Maggie's applauding on the touchline. Another hit, another run, and Maggie jumps up and down as Corey scores. Peggy watches uncomfortably as Maggie and Corey bump chests and exchange high fives. Maggie and Corey are still joshing. Peggy's lip curls.
It's nice that... still friends.
Peggy gulps.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a long time ago, and, you know, it's just...
Below them, Maggie beams delightedly.
Excuse me.
You all right?
Yeah.
That makes an alumni 9, Yale students 8.
Hey, Peggy. Hey.
Peggy gives Maggie a cursory wave, then leaves the ground.
We're donated by Betty Trout.
Maggie climbs the spectator stand and sits next to Ike and points her finger at him.
You have been here, what, like 3 minutes? What did you do to her? What?
You could just turn that finger around.
Excuse me?
Oh, Corey. Pow. What is that? What is this about?
You know what? We have all been friends our entire lives, a type of relationship that you obviously don't understand.
Look, I'm not the only one who does not understand. The USS Maggie leaves quite awake.
Ike, drink in hand, stands up to go, leaving Maggie open-mouthed.
Pa,
character or man.
The softball game continues. On the field, Corey makes another catch.
Corey Fleming, Lee Metalhorn to Dr. Edwards.
Hey! Right!
Maggie looks thoughtful.
That's cheering. Cheer normal.
Outside the curl up and dye salon.
Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning.
Peggy lets herself into her shop. Maggie is curled up on one of the swing chairs, her face buried in her crossed arms. Peggy switches on the light and puts down her bag.
Do you think I flirt with Corey?
Good morning to you, too. You look good.
Thank you. Do you think I flirt with Corey?
Yes.
I don't mean to.
I know. I think sometimes you just sort of spaz out with excess flirtatious energy and it just lands on anything male that moves.
Anything male that moves, as opposed to anything male that doesn't?
Well, like certain kinds of coral.
Definitely gonna have to kill myself.
Why?
Because you think I'm all like, hey man, check me out.
No, I don't. I think you're like, I'm charming and mysterious in a way that even I don't understand, and something about me is crying out for protection from a big man like you. It's very hard to compete with, especially as married women who've lost our mystery.
Lost? You are totally mysterious.
No, I'm weird. Weird and mysterious are two very different things.
I'm weird.
No, you're quirky. Quirky and weird are two very different things.
Peggy, I think there is a distinct possibility that I am profoundly and irreversibly screwed up. Despite that, I love you and I promise to no longer flirt with Corey.
Maggie, I'm not worried about you and Corey or me and Corey or... Are you being irreversibly screwed up? Maggie, you've been like this since we were kids. And all I'm thinking is, now that you're aware of it, and that it hurts people's feelings sometimes, maybe it's time to get on with life and commit to someone of your own, like Bob, if he's the one.
I know. Is there anything I can do to make it up to you?
Well, there's always the thing that brings warmth to my heart, and that is Duckbill Platypus.
Duckbill? That is only funny in, like, Camp Birchwood on a
just do it.
Trip
do it.
With the tent, and my leg is the pole, and it's raining, and, you know, that's the only time that's funny.
Let's just see.
Maggie closes her eyes and gives a long, suffering sigh. She raises both her hands to her mouth and stretches her lips sideways, sticking out her tongue and rolling her eyes. She covers her mouth with the front of her grey cardigan.
So humiliating.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Twin little boy roller skaters glide past the barbershop quartet.
Farewell, ladies, we're going to leave you now.
Maggie slides through the doors of the Atlantic Hotel and goes to reception.
Hey, wake up. Hey.
Hello.
Hey. Hi. Give me the key to the reporter's room. I'm going to snoop around a little bit. Come on, quick. Wake up.
Second floor.
Thank you.
Don't take anything big.
Lee cranes his neck to watch Maggie lope upstairs past a matronly chambermaid. Maggie, in jeans and a fabric shoulder bag, tiptoes down a comfortably furnished corridor bathed in gentle lamplight. She comes into the dark room and turns on the light. On a desk, a tape of Miles Davis music, which she slips into her embroidered bag.
Hmm. Hopefully his favorite.
You know, my theory is that she's always running because she gets negative attention. And negative attention is attention. You know, like when women whack you on the street because of your column. That's negative attention.
We're talking about her negative attention, not mine.
Talking on his car phone, Ike pulls up outside the hotel. Upstairs, Maggie wanders around the room, A picture frame is covered in post-it notes. She starts to peel them off one by one.
How does she get all those guys to propose? She's not that beautiful. Bite me, paper boy.
Down the hall.
Hey. Hi, Ike.
Hey, Ralph.
You put your shoes out at night and they're real shiny in the morning.
Sometimes they don't bring them back.
Why take a chance?
Hi.
Ike is close to the door. The handle starts to turn. Maggie whips round and dashes across to the bathroom.
All right, I know you're in there. I saw it.
She tries to open the window.
You realize you're messing with the First Amendment now. Come on, open up.
She jumps into the shower.
Come on. I think we should have a very serious discussion about why you were such a pain in the ass! Now, come on, open the door! All right, I'm coming in. I'm coming through. It's your last chance. Here I come. Here I come. Here I come.
Maggie's on the window ledge.
All right. Breaking and entering. That's a felony. I'm calling the sheriff.
Oh, you know what? You do that. And can you remind him that he's bringing the wine to the luau? Save me a call.
Hey, Ike, does your friend have a sister?
Wait for the original. She'll be available in a week.
It's evening, and a light is on in Maggie's house. Sitting hunched over her coffee table, Maggie has pink, white, and yellow post-it notes strewn in front of her. She looks at the songs featured on the tape, sits back, hands clasped together, and stretches her feet on the table. On the parquet floor, against her bag embroidered with the symbol of Libra, one of Ike's notes shows no remorse. The Atlantic Hotel, bathed in early morning sunshine. Maggie stands at the end of Ike's bed. He stirs and looks at his alarm clock.
Freeze. Oh, hold on to those covers. I didn't come here to see Ike Jr.
I take it the desk clerk is one of your many admirers.
She smiles.
So, your note's made for, interesting reading.
What's your point?
My point is, once again, you're getting it all wrong, and that's not going to improve your reputation, and it's not very flattering to me either. So, I decided that I would help you write the truth.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I've decided to cooperate and let you interview me for $1,000. I want a big wedding and a killer dress, and for a grand, I will answer all your questions and let you follow me around.
The magazine does not spend money for stories. It's not what you would call ethical.
Oh, no, I meant you. I figured you probably got severance or expenses or both. I'm guessing that you're writing on spec. And with a first-person interview, you might actually sell that thing.
Too much.
$750.
$500.
$650.
Done.
Later, Ike is jogging. Maggie on a bike behind him.
Is that supposed to be like a joke or something? I know what you're whistling. Hello. This is a birthday present for my cousin.
A fingernail painting machine.
That's great. Wonderful stuff. All these found industrial parts. Plant, tree. Great. Is this that your preferred logo?
I think so.
It's nice. The whole thing is great. I think you could sell these lamps in New York.
Maybe someday.
You afraid to try?
No, I'm not afraid. Just someday.
She opens a ring box.
This is Brian.
A diamond solitaire.
Oh, Father Brian.
And Gil's, of course.
A silver rose ring.
Gil, yeah.
And George.
Another diamond.
He proposed at a butterfly farm in St. Thomas. The ring was inside a cocoon.
A little too Silence of the Lambs for my taste, but...
Well, he's an entomologist. Thought it was very unique. And finally, Bob.
Hmm?
He proposed during the seventh inning stretch...
Ike touches her hand.
...at an Oriole game.
Wait, don't tell me. Scoreboard lit up with, Marry Me, Maggie.
It was one of the most wonderful moments of my life.
Highly suspect.
What do you mean? It was incredibly romantic.
Look, maybe it's just me, but... you know, if you gotta dress it up like that, it just doesn't ring true. You know, I think the most that anybody can honestly say is, look, I guarantee that there'll be tough times. I guarantee that at some point, one or both of us is gonna wanna get out of this thing. But I also guarantee that if I don't ask you to be mine, I'll regret it the rest of my life. Because I know, in my heart, you're the only one for me.
Maggie looks down uncomfortably.
I like it. I'd like it better on the scoreboard.
As she sits down near to him, he smiles sheepishly.
So is that what you said when you asked your wife to marry you? Well, don't look so surprised. You got divorce written all over you.
I'm a work in progress.
So is that what you said to her?
No, I think I said something very eloquent, like, so, maybe you and I should, you know, what do you think, huh?
Now that's romantic. And with a proposal like that, you didn't find eternal bliss? What went wrong?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Maybe you should ask her sometime. Ever thought of that?
Ike meets her clear gaze and nods. Later, they drive into town.
Even with everything that's happened, I have still never been married, and I still deserve a beautiful dress.
They step into a bridal shop.
Mrs. Whitmire?
Where are you going?
Oh, hi, Polly.
Oh, hi, Maggie.
You'll have to excuse her. Some of the children are afraid of you since you dragged that little boy up the aisle.
No, he tripped on his own shoelaces.
You've come for your dress. Good. It's in the back. I'll get it.
Actually, Mrs. Whitmire, I decided that I want to get this dress.
The one in the window.
Oh. Well, the one you have on hold is lovely, dear.
No, I know, but I've changed my mind.
This is $1,000.
And I have $1,000.
The other one is only $300, dear.
Is that dress for sale?
It's just a lot of money to spend on one of your dresses, Maggie. After all, you only wear them for about 10 minutes or so.
Maggie stares at the portly woman and gives a lame smile.
I guess that's true.
Ike watches from behind a newspaper as Maggie sits down as if in shock.
The other dress is nice.
This is Wittenheimer?
Meyer.
Wittenheimer. Can I talk to you just for a second? Look, I don't know much about this kind of thing. I'm from out of town, but you're a salesperson, right? I mean, you're here to sell wedding dresses.
Well, I've been here 30 years.
Perfect! Because Miss Carpenter is here to buy one. Ah, but not just anyone. She wants that one!
It's $1,000!
Listen, Aunt B. Verbal communication was never perfect for me. Let's try visual, right?
He climbs up into the window display and picks up the mannequin.
We're buying the dress. Now, we'll have this nice, beautiful dress and anything else she wants. It's hers, okay? All right?
Maggie puts up her hands as if to say, nothing to do with me. She comes out of the changing room wearing the dress, a tight satin bodice and organza skirt.
What do you think?
Ike looks up from his paper, takes off his reading glasses as she steps down from the salon pedestal towards him, hands behind her back. She twirls round, showing off the satin bands on her skirt. He purses his lips and nods thoughtfully.
Look.
His smile is warm, but he looks down and puts his specs back on.
You look fine.
Fine.
He turns his paper round.
You're reading your newspaper upside down. That's got to be better than fine.
Yeah.
Hey, come on now. Admire me. Get the whole picture, right? Picture it. I have my hair up somehow. I don't know, maybe with a little in the back or... And my favorite feature is that it kind of swishes like a bell when I move.
She sways.
Ding.
Watched by the wide-eyed
ding,
little girl.
Ding.
Ike looks over the top of his ding, glasses, unable to suppress a smile.
It works. Bob will be very happy.
Oh, Bob. Oh, we gotta go meet Bob.
She has riding boots on under the dress.
Oh, geez, yeah, I'm going to the luau. I never miss it. You know, the barbershop for
Mrs. Pressman? I'm ready to order here, I think.
I'm all out of the special because...
That's all right. I'm gonna have the garden omelet, egg whites only.
That sounds good. I'll have the same.
Of course.
What is that? I can't even order eggs without sarcasm from you.
Hey, neutral corners, huh? You're on the same team
now.
What
does that sound? Have some water.
Penalty box.
What is it? Furball?
Penalty box. Penalty box.
Maggie is the sweetest person you're ever going to meet.
But she focuses too much, you know, out there. She needs to start focusing more in here. I mean, that's why I think she's had, whatever you want to call them, problems in the past. And that's what we're working on. Focus. Focus. Focus on Maggie. Focus on Maggie. Mm-hmm. Focus on Bob. Focus on Bob. And I've been running Maggie through these visualization exercises. All the sports shrinks use this head stuff. Visualize the end zone. Visualize that hole-in-one.
Tell me, when you get to the altar, will you spike the bouquet?
Okay, you know what?
I'm off. The porter's work is never done. See you later. Bye, Miss Preston. Thank you.
I'm going to go focus on your eggs, Bob.
Bob doesn't get it. Grandma Julia.
I'm glad you're here. I wanted to try to explain. There are reasons why there have been three weddings and no I do's. Well, you can't believe how much cake we got stuck with. It's a wonder I don't weigh 300 pounds. And then her father bought all that booze that nobody drank, but he didn't mind that.
Hi, Grandma. Hi, Netta.
Grammy here was giving me the skinny on why you run from marital bliss.
Right. Netta, cover up your ears. It's not that she's afraid of the wedding. She's afraid of the wedding night. Innocent girls are terrified of the one-eyed snake.
Maggie and Ike both look down.
Why, when I was a virgin bride, I took a knitting needle to bed with me.
Grandma, I charmed the one-eyed snake a while ago.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Your grandpa never forgot that wedding night. Netta, you can take your... hands down, the tea's cold.
Good. Can you excuse us for a minute? May I have a word with you, please?
Oh. Bye, Netta. Bye. Thanks, Grammy.
Outside the tea shop.
I found this, and I didn't know if it was something interesting.
What? This is Miles Davis.
I was cleaning out the attic, and
this
it was...
It's very hard to find in good condition. You hold on to this. This is incredible.
Well, you take it.
Grandma's listening.
Huh?
Take it.
Okay, figuring out what kind of music I like, finding me a rare album. Not trying to butter me up, are you?
I was cleaning out the attic, not attempting the impossible.
She turns away.
I smell trouble.
On the open road.
This is Corey Fleming, and I'll be featuring the music of Denise and the Nephews tomorrow morning on Wake Up with...
Ike reverses his silver convertible.
What do we got here?
He pulls into a bar next to Maggie's truck. Inside, Maggie and Walter.
Come on, big guy. Oh, here. Oh, on our feet. Here we go. Let's go. Let's go. Big guy, yeah.
I haven't had any fun since you got your driver's license.
Well, good tip. I haven't had a whole lot of fun either. Whoa. Steady.
They stagger out of the door.
Good boy, Porthole.
His name's Skipper, Dad.
I changed it.
Okay, step.
Go. I'll be back later, Travis.
That guy Travis really has a problem.
Okay. Okay. Steady. Now, you're gonna lean, I'm gonna push.
Good daughters let their fathers pass out.
Hey, Walter. Right down there.
Please don't write anything about
it. No, forget about it. Don't even think about it.
Maggie shuts the truck door and stands by the bonnet. Ike shuts the driver's door and moves along the length of the car.
I'm so tired of this whole scene.
Why don't you just let him sleep it off here in the truck? Come for a ride with me and come back for him later.
Okay.
Ike reverses out of the forecourt of Greenwood's Inn Hale Tavern as the sky begins to darken.
Today... we took a walk up the street. We picked a flower, climbed the hill, up the lane.
Well, he's been drinking more and more since my mom passed away.
So that's when you quit school to come back here?
Yeah, I had to come run the store for my dad.
My dad had a small printing business.
He wanted me to become a classical musician. My mother wanted me to be a novelist. They were over two.
Maggie's eyes are downcast.
More? So I became a reporter. Not quite a novelist, but as we all know, journalism is literature in a hurry.
Maggie looks thoughtful as they drive on.
I never saw blue like that before.
The car begins to stall.
What is this?
What kind of gas did you put in here? Diesel?
I don't know. The pump closest to the car.
The car has stalled.
This car takes unleaded. Your filter is clogged.
Can you fix it?
I'm going to need to get some tools.
Oh, good. Kind of isolated here.
Yeah, it's nice.
They're standing by the car in the dark.
Well, if there's one thing us New Yorkers know how to do, that's hail a cab. If there's no cab, we walk.
Well, if we saved a battery here, there's a place just down the way. We country girls cut across the field. It's quicker.
Ike's lips curl into a smile as he sets off behind her.
Oh, be careful of snakes.
Ike stamps his feet in panic.
What?
Snakes?
I don't like snakes.
Walk nice. They won't get you.
Ike breaks into a run.
Come on.
What are you doing? Snake dance?
I'm scaring you, snake.
You're scaring me.
I'm scaring myself.
Now they're walking along at a leisurely pace.
Do you think there's one right person for everybody?
No, but I think attraction is too often mistaken for rightness. You know, attraction is very misleading.
Yes, it is. And it doesn't mean anything.
No. It means...
Maggie starts to climb over a fence. Ike moves to help her. They both stay quite still as they look self-consciously at each other across the darkness.
Suddenly forgot how to climb a fence.
Embarrassed, they look away from each other.
Tools.
Tools, yeah.
Ike vaults over the fence, followed by Maggie. She strides off ahead towards a brightly lit shack.
Lila? Do you have tools?
Hey, Maggie. What are you going to do, bust out of another wedding?
Sure are well known round here.
Next day...
No, Fish, it's almost done, I swear. This story's taking a very interesting turn. I got one more interview to do up in New York. I'll see you there later.
Ike speeds off out of Hale along the same autumnal road as before. In his local bar...
You could have told me that you were fiancé number 3.
And end up in the papers? I've been humiliated enough already to last a lifetime, thank you. I was traveling around studying the reproductive and migratory patterns of locusts when Maggie met me.
Just tell me, George, why do you think she ran?
Just like you said. What did you call her? A man-eater? Devouring death goddess, all right?
It's what I said. I don't think that's why she ran.
Oh, why do you think she ran?
I don't know. I'm working on it. I was on the wrong track.
Are you defending her?
No, I call it like I see it, that's all. I'm a journalist. I'm a truth teller.
Unbelievable.
What?
She got to you, too. Like a moth to a flame.
Please!
Join the club.
What are you talking about?
I think that you need this much more than I do.
I am a journalist. I'm doing an article. Look, see, I'm being paid. This will be published. It's a cover story. I will tell that you'll get all the facts in the article. Do you know what kind of egg she liked?
Ike holds up his tape recorder.
Poached. Same as me.
The bearded George leaves the bar. Ike shakes his head. Outside, he crosses a busy street towards Fisher's apartment.
An overpriced apartment and Chinese takeout. That's New York living.
Fisher, don't forget the fortune cookies.
Oh, I already read the fortune. You don't want to know.
He makes me crazy.
Hostility is a very important part of your foreplay, isn't it?
Well, it takes three people to make our marriage work, him, me, and our therapist.
Ellie and Ike at the piano.
Ellie, what went wrong? With us, with the two of us, I mean. No, it's been a long time. But do you remember?
Yeah. Do I remember? Of course I do.
Is that what... Did I do the same? Is that what happened? Did I just not see you?
No. No, you didn't.
Ike wraps his arm around Ellie's waist.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Ellie.
I'm sorry too, Ike. Wow. That only took us 12 years to say.
Fisher.
I saw that, you cad. As for us, you got it. Here you go.
My dear.
There you are. Get your fortune. Let me see what... Confucius say, man who leave wife alone with ex-husband may leave altogether.
Guests converge on a big barn converted for Maggie's luau, a Hawaiian pre-wedding feast organized by Betty Trout. A bikini-clad dancer performs a belly dance. Guests dressed in Hawaiian shirts with garlands round their necks watch as she wiggles to the rhythm. Bob and Maggie, arm in arm.
Walter, I'm thinking about going back to my maiden name.
Can you still remember it?
Maggie's with Peggy.
It's not, you know, I haven't seen him in 24 hours, and I would feel better if I knew where he was.
Peggy nods. Across the room, she spots Ike in Hawaiian shirt coming up the stairs.
Welcome to our annual luau. What can I get you?
Aloha, Mr. Trout. Yeah, you got something without a toy in it.
Hawaiian cocktails decorated with tiny paper umbrellas. Cindy, clutching her dog Sprout, slides under a limbo rope. Walter and Mrs. Pressman are swaying to the music. Maggie, her head in a white garland, is watching. Ike sidles up behind her.
Aloha. Very fetching headdress you're wearing.
Maggie, holding onto a bamboo column, doesn't turn round.
Where did you disappear to?
Miss me bad, huh?
He takes a swig of beer. Maggie smiles despite herself. Bob, bare-chested and wearing a golden crown, does the limbo and takes his bow. Peggy is standing with Betty Trout.
It's chow time here on the islands, and we Trouts have prepared our traditional feast, shrimp trout. So let's all meet over the table.
Not allergic to shrimp, are you?
No.
Pity.
She walks away. As coconuts thump on tables, Walter rises to his feet.
Attention! Pay attention to Walter. Listen closely. He slurs.
In the tradition that has grown over the years, it is now toast time. First up, our host, Lou, honey of a beekeeper, Trout.
Peggy covers her face in her hands.
May the groom's heart be filled with hope and the bride's feet filled with lead.
Maggie gives an embarrassed smile.
May the pitter-patter of little feet not be Maggie.
Ike watches as Maggie forces another bright smile.
May the gifts be returnable.
I took mine back.
You know the old saying, you're not losing a daughter... Well, I'd like to. Maggie may not be Hale's longest-running joke, but she is certainly the fastest.
Maggie mouths her father's oft-repeated words. Ike paces behind her.
Good one, Dad. Walter, maybe Mr. Graham.
There we are. Would you like to say something, Mr. Graham?
Yeah, just a minute. I don't know yet. You okay?
Come on, Ike. Take a shot at Maggie live. It's much more fun than print.
Excuse me?
Well, it's a joke. They're kidding, uh-huh. Ike.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Come on, let's go.
Woo! Ike, come on. Woo! All right. We'll have a toast.
Yeah.
To Maggie's family and friends, may you find yourselves the bullseye of an easy target. May you be publicly flogged for all of your bad choices. And may your noses be rubbed in all of your mistakes.
Embarrassment all round. Betty rises to her feet.
Well, that was funny, but enough toasting. Let's hula. Everybody, let's get up and start the band off. And everybody, we're going to make a line right down here. Everybody up.
Maggie. Now. Maggie?
Maggie leaves. Peggy to Mike.
Honey, go find the
here, she might need this.
Maggie's wrapped.
Where's Maggie going to?
Oh, she just wanted to get me something from a car.
Maybe she needs help.
One of Bob's teammates.
Okay. The guard who threw the block.
Yeah.
Okay. Force Greg.
No. Elijah. He's the running back.
The fridge. The refrigerator, Perry.
Maggie sprints away from the party.
Hey.
Ike catches up with her.
It's a coat. Put his coat on. It's cold.
Don't
right here.
Pretend to be a nice person.
I was the only person in there defending you.
You humiliated me.
No, Maggie, I defended you. Humiliating you is what everyone else did in there. That is the theme of the party tonight.
No, it was under control. Now they all feel sorry for me.
Well, they should. They're about to see you hang yourself again.
What do you...
Tell me something. Do you really care about Mount Everest?
It's fun. It's high.
Sexual practices of locusts?
Every one of those times, I was being supportive.
Not supportive! You weren't being supportive. You were scared. You were scared then, you're scared now. You were the most lost woman I
ever... Lost?
Yes, lost. You were so lost you didn't even know what kind of eggs you like. Yes.
What?
Yes. Yes, that's right. With a priest, you wanted scrambled. With a deadhead, it was fried. With the other guy, the bug guy, it was poached. Now it's like, egg whites only. Thank you very much.
That is called... changing your mind.
No, that's called not having a mind of your own. Maggie, what are you doing? You really want that guy up there to drag you up Annapurna for your honeymoon? You do not want to climb Annapurna.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. You want a man who will lead you down the beach with his hand over your eyes, just so you can discover the feel of sand under your feet. You want a guy that wake you up at dawn. He's just bursting to talk to you. Can't wait another minute just to find out what he'll say. Am I right?
She breaks his gaze and turns away.
Stop it. I am getting married on Sunday, and you are just trying to make me run. Because you're a cynical, exploitive, mean-hearted creep who wouldn't know real love if it bit him in the armpit. All you do is tear others down and laugh at them and criticize what they do because you're too afraid to do anything yourself. I read your columns. You never once wrote anything about yourself. I am not the only one that is lost. And you know it. Am I right? Am I right?
Ike comes close to her.
Mac? Hey, help me out here. Green Bay right guard. Bart Starr.
Ike looks down awkwardly.
You okay?
Yes.
Maggie's eyes are shining. She looks at them both.
Take inside. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
She and Ike are both smiling unnaturally.
Jerry Kramer!
Maggie and Bob walk past lit torches back to the party. Ike walks away. Next day in the kitchen, Walter is juggling oranges as Maggie kisses Grandma.
What's for lunch? Turkey and cheese.
Honey, your grandmother and I are thinking about having a wedding gift museum.
Maggie turns to him.
Stop.
What?
Stop. Don't say another word like that.
Maggie, it was just a joke.
No. It's humiliating and it's gone on long enough. You may not like that you have a daughter with problems, but guess what? I don't like that I have a father who's drunk all the time. I'll eat in my room.
She takes her plate. Grandma follows her.
Okay, tell me why Maggie's having another rehearsal, and 2 days before the wedding, she's already done this.
Well, Bob insisted she visualize the ceremony.
Okay, we're ready.
In the church.
Do you want me to have Ike leave now?
Actually, let's make Ike the pastor.
I'd rather not.
No, it'll give you a great view. I think it's perfect. Okay? Hey.
Okay. Team effort, Pastor Ike.
Yeah, we can hurry this up.
He's going to be the pastor?
Yes. Yes, because I want him front and center so he can just see everything.
That's right there. That's it. Okay.
Cindy.
Cindy rushes to the back of the church. Bob does warm-up exercises.
Ready?
What happened to the luau?
I didn't want to talk about the luau, okay? What is this?
It's for the bell. Oh.
Bob's in a hurry.
Girls!
Okay, Maggie, remember what Bob said. Let us visualize. Be the ball.
Sink the putt.
Make the shot.
Nothing but net.
Never say die.
Move your butts.
Girls! Where are you?
On our way, Coach.
Maggie's holding the bell rope.
The bell. Whoa.
Whoa!
Bob and the rest wait indulgently for her to stop fooling about.
What's she doing?
She's being the bell instead of the ball.
Sanctuary. Sanctuary.
Mags, you okay?
Maggie appears at the back door looking sheepish. She fidgets, smooths her hair, and comes forward. Ike watches keenly as Maggie tries to compose herself, closing her eyes, clasping and unclasping her hands. She seems to be mouthing words of encouragement to herself.
Look at this pace. This could become an evening wedding.
Okay. You know something? It's great. I just think we're taking this a little too fast, right? You're tensing. You feel it? Right? We just need to limber you up for a second, okay? Ike, come here.
Yeah.
All right, you're me. Stand here so she knows how far she's got to come, honey. I'm going to walk with you.
Peggy and Cindy exchange looks.
Now he's the groom.
Right? Just relax. Limber. Visualize. Relax. Limber. And
Bob, standing behind Maggie, moves her arms in a circle. The organist watches for his cue. Bob pushes Maggie along like a rag doll.
Spiraling through the air. Streaking toward the goal line.
Her brown eyes meet Ike's steady gaze.
Keep eye contact.
I land on the goal line.
Good. Okay, and I'm the pastor, and I say, dearly beloved, we're gathered here, blah, 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 so on and so forth, rat-a-tat-tat, gabba-dabba. I now pronounce you man and wife. Kiss the bride. We have the organ crescendo that just leads us right on down the aisle.
And as if in a trance, Ike and Maggie move towards each other and kiss. Bob watches uncomfortably. The organist looks up, his eyes widen. As the kiss continues, Peggy covers her face in her hands.
No!
Maggie? Mac?
Bob steps in between Maggie and Ike.
Okay. So if you're imagining me, you did great. What the hell were you doing?
Bob, I'm really sorry about that. She kissed me back.
I kissed you back?
Yes, she did. You kissed me.
Yeah, caught that. You want to tell me how long this has been going on?
About a minute.
A little longer for me.
Really?
What do you expect me to say to this? Hello?
Well, Bob, you could say, I hope you two will be really happy together.
I hope you two will be really happy together.
Ike falls to the floor as Bob strides out of the church.
Are you okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Bob pushes open the church doors.
Bob! I'm sorry. At least this time I backed out before the wedding. That's progress. You are going to find some woman who can make you so much happier than I ever could.
Cindy.
Look out.
Dashes after Bob.
Ooh, see? See? It's happening already.
She's good with needy men.
Yeah.
Why don't you just call me later?
Okay. Bob, this may not be a good time, but here's my number. Drive safely, Bob!
Ike, putting on his jacket, emerges from the church.
Kid wants to lock up, go home. It's Bob?
Okay. So what just happened just now, then, in there?
I don't know. I don't even want to talk about it.
Me neither.
They fall into each other's arms.
Wait, no. We got to stop. No. We have to talk. We have to do some talking now, all right? Just come over here. Pull up a rail.
Okay.
All right. We're just give me a little space here. All right. Do you think maybe well, you do have a dress.
And the church.
And the wedding date. And there's the two of us. Maybe. You do have to go down the aisle with somebody that you love and who loves you back.
Who?
She points an inquiring finger at Ike. He nods lamely. Maggie puts her hand over her mouth and in dreamy slow motion sees Ike in a morning suit with herself in her wedding dress holding him by the waist as they ride away into the sunset. She closes her eyes in thought.
I'm okay with that.
So am I.
As Ike smiles at her shyly, Maggie smiles brightly. Ike switches on his tape recorder.
I'm getting married.
A sign writer chips Bob Kelly's name off the wedding date board. Ike and Maggie hold an expanding plastic ball between their teeth.
You do this often?
Well, not a lot of goo around here.
Cindy.
I just believe he's listening to you. His hair, and in color.
I like his tight butt.
Grandma?
Well, I do.
Hey, look, I'll see you at the wedding then, right? I mean, you're going to be there, huh? It's going to be 37 hours.
I didn't miss the first one. We're going to spend part of the time here in town because he wants to write a book.
Well, you always wanted to write a novel.
I feel inspired here. I feel like I can write. I want to write.
Ike is getting married.
Fisher falls on the floor and kicks his legs in the air.
Fisher, if you pee on that Persian, I'm going to kill you.
Hi, it's Cindy's on the phone.
Cindy passes Maggie the phone. She tries to keep upright. A Sprout the dog gets caught up with the cord, and Peggy and Cindy try to untangle it.
What are you doing?
Nothing. What are you doing?
It's all right.
Nothing. Wow, I see the most beautiful girl.
She grins at Ike through the window.
That's right. Don't touch! You were trying to cheat on him!
They're playing cards.
See, now this is a mature relationship.
In a park, Ike pushes Maggie, who's sitting on a swing tire, as he reads. Stroking her cheek by candlelight. Baby, I love you.
Wedding bells are ringing today in Hale, Maryland. Maggie Carpenter, always a bride, never a bridesmaid, is attempting to complete her fourth wedding ceremony. We'll be back when results are in. Back to you, Jessica.
Well, the turnout for this morning's ceremony is usually saved for royalty or Hollywood movie stars, but Maggie Carpenter is Hale, Maryland's very
own. Hey, T-shirts, star. Hey, I got five bridey. I got what part of I do, don't you understand? Hey, get your runaway bride T-shirts.
Will she or won't she? That is on the minds of these several hundred folks that are standing here this morning, not to mention on the mind of room number four, who is missing in action.
He's going to stand me up.
Oh, of course he's going to come, because today I saw 8 geese lying in a V.
Don't you with the lucky geese. You always see geese.
Not 8. In a V.
8 is better.
8 in a V. Can you imagine?
V. Yeah. For victory.
Victory!
Victory!
And Velcro?
Okay.
Velcro stuck together! Virginal!
No.
Well, you know.
Sweaty, I'm nervous. Where are my bags?
Okay, no bags. No.
Bags are for later. Yes. Rub your ears.
Rub your ears. That's a great idea. That's a very good idea. Right, rub your ears. Corey does that to me sometimes. And you just...
We do it to the dog.
Get your I don't think she will shirt. These shirts are not sold in stores.
Here comes Ike Graham.
Showtime.
Ike drives slowly past the waiting crowds and camera crews.
Pretty nice, actually.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Hey, he's here!
Hold the ear!
And Ike Graham has arrived at the church.
Is this your first marriage?
Is this your last marriage?
Any little Graham in the future?
Oh, he gets whacked.
All right. Okay. All right. Yes. Okay. All right. Okay. This is who makes this?
All right. Will is not attacking you.
Okay. Now is the time to calm down.
Yes.
Because if you don't get calm, we won't get your dress on.
A girl can't get married in flannel.
Peggy clutches Maggie's hands.
He's the one. He really is the one.
We
gotta hurry because the Sunday school kids are coming.
Mrs. Pressman.
Don't worry, there's no microphone.
Please, put it there. No fun.
Listen, I was going to do the Scorsese thing where I come down the aisle.
Whatever, just do it. Shoot.
Ike.
Friends!
Oh, God.
Thank you. Thank you. We are friends, aren't we, Fisher?
Of course we are.
Yes,
and
you'll be my best man.
I'm good, but I'm not sure I'm the best.
You just go over and see the pastor, he'll tell you what to do.
All right.
Someone will tell me what to do.
You always looked great in that suit. And Ike, I'm happy for you, honey.
Ellie kisses Ike warmly.
I have a cleaning out back for you just in case she decides to run.
I have an invitation. Lou, he's with me.
Ike turns to see Bob coming straight for him. He brandishes a buttonhole.
You look terrible.
Thanks.
Ike takes the yellow rose.
Here.
Bob clips it on for him.
Ike, I'm glad it's you.
Really?
I wouldn't want to have found out that I wasn't the one for her in the fourth quarter.
Bob smiles and squeezes Ike's arm.
Well, Coach, any final advice?
Bob points two fingers at Ike's face and then one finger.
Maintain eye contact.
Maggie, in her $1,000 satin wedding dress, is swaying from side to side in front of an electric fan, as if in a trance. Peggy, in a lilac dress and carrying a small bouquet, sways reassuringly behind her, as Maggie, chewing gum, blows a big pink bubble, which pops. Betty Trout is with Ike, Fisher and Ellie.
It's just that you want to look just special for the wedding. You know you should thank me and Lou for lending you the wedding car, a 63 Buick.
Thank you, Mrs.
Trout. Oh, what are you saying? We're practically family. How's that fair?
Hello, my name is Fisher. What's yours?
Nice, Betty. Well, that doesn't want to come out, does it?
You just pulled a hair from my neck.
Dark.
Mrs. Trout, please. Fine. This is my wedding.
Yes.
Hello, come sit down. Thank you. We're starting pretty soon.
What's that?
Mrs. Trout.
He doesn't have it.
Don't.
I just want that to be able to... Well, then in the pocket.
Don't do...
Right in the pocket. That's me.
Nine.
Just. Good luck, sweet girl.
Oh, thank you, Grandma. I love you.
I'm really rooting for this one.
Okay, Dad.
The place is packed, with the whole town of Hale on the bride's side, and with many New Yorkers on the groom's side.
The New Yorkers are all in sunglasses and wearing black.
Is this taken?
No.
Bob sits next to a blonde.
I'm Elaine from Manhattan.
I'm Bob, Maggie's fourth attempt.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. There's a lid for every pot. And yeah, and I'm comfortable with, like, you know, it's like Jack Dempsey lost his heavyweight title to a New Yorker.
Right, Gene Tunney.
Bob stares at Elaine. Maggie blows into a paper bag.
Oh, spit.
She spits out her gum.
Let's go. Okay, no sauntering down the aisle. I don't like that. Just make time. Just get there. Just go.
Fine.
Okay.
Cindy, with Peggy behind her, hurries down the aisle of the packed church towards Ike and Fisher at the altar. Behind them, a smiling, grey-haired minister. Ike smiles nervously at the girls.
All rise, please.
The church doors open to reveal Maggie clutching her bouquet of yellow roses in her white satin gloves. Unattended, with a calm smile, she walks down the aisle, her brown eyes unblinkingly holding Ike's adoring gaze.
The bride is walking down the aisle. Maggie Carpenter is walking down the aisle.
She stops. Cindy and Peggy wince.
Oh, she's pausing.
Keep eye contact.
Stay with me.
Eye contact.
Maggie gives Ike a sideways grin and starts to walk, closer and closer towards him. She gives him a goofy grin.
Please be seated. Thank you.
Mr. Trout to his wife.
I sleep in a camera.
We are gathered here today. Please, no cameras now. Could we hold off photos until the end of the ceremony? Thank you.
Maggie starts to retreat.
We are gathered here today.
No.
Where is she going?
Don't.
Maggie.
Lock the door!
She's here.
Pushing past the guests, Ike dashes after Maggie, who shoots down some steps into a preschool classroom.
Oh, never a dull moment at a Maggie wedding.
Well, there's a man coming downstairs with lots of candy in his pockets, and if you tickle him, he'll give you all of his candy. Here you go, little queen. Just tickle him.
As Maggie flees through a door, the children swarm around Ike.
Whoa, not me. The naughty fly.
Maggie climbs up onto a window with a pre-prepared escape chute.
Money suit.
Picking up her hooped skirt, Maggie climbs out.
Wait!
She dashes towards a waiting postal truck just as Ike reaches the window.
Wait!
Maggie!
Go, go.
The driver puts the truck into gear and pulls out. Hurtles out of the window and, watched by Fisher and Ellie, sprints alongside the post truck.
Maggie!
He's running after her.
He's in pretty good shape, too.
Maggie! No, Maggie!
Where do you think she's going?
Well, wherever it is, she'll be there by 10:30 tomorrow.
Maggie, standing at the open door of the truck, watches Ike running after her, his tie flying in the wind, with a slightly anxious but detached look. The truck turns a corner and leaves him behind. Cameramen and photographers dash towards him. He bends down to catch his breath as the people swarm round.
What is your next move?
How do you feel right now?
What will you do now?
I know you must feel terrible.
Mr. Graham,
what will you do now?
Mr. Graham, talk to him.
That's enough. Come on,
what will you do now?
Ike puts up a hand asking to be left alone and walks away. The next day's papers roll off the press.
Hardware honey goes nuts and bulbs. How many times is she going to do this?
The headline of US Today, Maggie's mad dash, with a photo of a distraught Ike. Outside the Atlantic Hotel after dark.
And finally, in local news, the mayor has requested that we all stop gossiping about last week's Maggie Carpenter almost wedding. This is Corey Fleming for WHALE saying, may the good Lord make you smart enough to live in a small town.
And we cut. Camera loves you.
At Carpenter's, Peggy to Maggie.
Hey, you okay?
Yeah.
I'm closing. You want to go to Butch's for a drink?
You know, I'm going to finish up here and then I think I'll just head home.
Okay. You know, I was thinking about that V thing, and I think the V in the geese was half of a W for
what are you talking about?
Wedding! You just gotta get the rest of your ducks in a row.
Peggy cups Maggie's face in her hands. Maggie kisses her hand in gratitude.
So you still think that he...
You're quick. You're very quick.
As Peggy leaves, Maggie in floppy jumper, her hair loose, switches off one of her table lamps. She stops to consider the lamp and switches on again. She turns off another light, leaving only her homemade lamp shining in the darkness. Silver-haired Ike sits cross-legged on his bed, deep in thought, as silvery-furred Italics cleans its paws. As a tram passes her house, Maggie lies on her bed, fully clothed. Covered in a blanket, most of her face buried in her pillow, except for her brown eyes. Later, in her workshop, she attaches bulbs to her aluminium lamp. In red boxing gloves, she takes a swipe at her punch bag. In the street, wearing a woolly hat, sweatpants and trainers, she jogs down the pavement. In New York, Ike crosses a busy street and something in a shop window catches his eye. He walks over to the window to take a closer look and sees lamps for sale with the logo Design by Mag. Through the window, he mouths the word, good. At home, Maggie spoons some scrambled egg onto a plate.
Okay, here we go.
On eight other plates set out in front of her, eggs cooked in eight different ways. She takes a forkful of scrambled and then tries some poached. The New York T-shirt seller.
Hey, Ike, how's it going?
Hey, Marvin.
That good, huh?
Ike goes down into Spring Street Underground Station. Outside again, with the dark blue night sky beyond, he walks along a wire fence beside the lake in Central Park, pulling up the collar of his raincoat against the chill evening air. Back on the pavement, he crosses the street towards his apartment building. He lets himself in and takes off his raincoat. He opens his wardrobe, and as he turns on the light, in the mirrored door, he sees Maggie's reflection.
Hello, Ike.
Ike turns to look at her. Her brown eyes looking at him with a steady gaze, a puzzled smile comes to his face.
Don't tell me. My doorman is one of your many admirers.
For making friends with your cat.
Italics is on the sofa with her.
Is it okay that I'm here?
Don't have much choice in the matter, do I? But I can't speak for Italics, traitor.
I don't blame you for being mad. Or furious. Irate. Livid.
So what is it, Maggie? You're in business? Anyway, I saw your lamps.
They're terrific.
Yeah, really.
Something that I've always wanted to do.
You know, you could make breaking and entering into a new career.
He opens the unlocked doors of his terrace.
So, what are you doing here, anyway?
I wanted to talk to you about why I run, sometimes ride, away from things.
Ike sits down on the terrace step.
Does it matter?
I think so. When I was walking down the aisle, I was walking toward somebody who had no idea who I really was. And it was only half the other person's fault because I had done everything to convince him that I was exactly what he wanted. So it was good that I didn't go through with it, because it would have been a lie. But you knew the real me.
Yes, I did.
I didn't.
Still, I ended up chasing a truck.
Ike moves to the edge of the terrace. Biting her lip, Maggie, in white polar neck sweater and pencil black skirt, her hair combed back from her face, follows him to the terrace door.
I can't, do anything about the truck. But,
She joins him on the terrace, facing him.
Benedict.
Arnold.
I love eggs, Benedict. I hate all the other kinds of eggs. I hate big weddings. Everybody staring. I'd like to get married on a weekday while everybody's at work. Mm-hmm. And if I ride off into the sunset, I want my own horse.
Should I be writing this down?
And there's something else.
No, you can tell me. You can tell me. Don't... Okay.
She runs back to where she was sitting and picks up a box, which she presents to him.
These are for you.
Smiling wryly, Ike removes the lid. Inside, a pair of running shoes.
Used...
Well, they're mine. Turning in my running shoes to you.
This is serious.
And there's one more thing. I know, the mind reels that there could be more after this, but if you could just have a seat.
She motions to him to sit down on a bench.
Let's just not have that there. Okay. Okay.
She kneels down in front of him.
Oh, no, my God, no.
No, don't hide your face. This happens once in a lifetime, and it's definitely a first for me, and you're not going to want to miss it, so pay close attention. I love you, Homer, Eisenhower, Graham. Will you marry me? Okay, good. I was hoping that you would say
you
that.
You were not.
No, I was. Because
true.
If you said yes right away, I wouldn't be able to do this next part. I've been practicing, so let me just...
She pulls up a chair.
Okay. Ready?
I'm listening.
They're sitting face to face in the darkness.
I guarantee that we'll have tough times. And I guarantee that at some point... one or both of us will want to get out. But I also guarantee that if I don't ask you to be mine, I'll regret it for the rest of my life. Because I know in my heart, you're the only one for me.
Ike has drawn closer to her. Smiling faintly, he takes her hands in his.
Heard it from this writer, I know. So.
He withdraws his hands and motions for her to stay where she is. She watches nervously as he goes over to his tape machine, guarded by the cat, and switches on. He stands above her in the near darkness.
Dance with me.
She takes his hands and stands up facing him. He draws her closer to him until they're cheek to cheek. Maggie and Ike move slowly to the music.
We are gathered here today to celebrate the union of Maggie Carpenter and Ike Graham.
In Hail Maryland, Maggie, in number 3 wedding dress, carrying a spray of flowers, steps over red and gold leaves towards Ike and a minister on the top of a hill.
Do you have the rings?
Yes.
Do you, Ike, take Maggie to be your lawfully wedded wife?
Ike, in a dark suit, faces his bride.
I do. Do you, Maggie, take Ike to be your lawfully wedded husband?
I do.
In this life that you share together, may your individuality strengthen your love.
power vested in me, I now pronounce you husband and wife.
Back on Ike's terrace, Maggie smiles happily.
You may kiss the bride.
With the cat watching, Ike and Maggie kiss, on the terrace and on the sunny hillside. The autumn landscape swirls round them, and from the bottom of the hill, friends and family applaud as they run towards the newlyweds. Directed by Gary Marshall. Written by James McGibbon and Sarah Parriott. Produced by Ted Field and Tom Rosenberg. They ride side by side over fallen leaves, Ike on a black horse, Maggie on the chestnut.
Guess what? She did it!
Maggie Carpenter got married.
Produced by Scott Crook and Robert Court.
Betty, she did it! She did it!
Betty throws up a handful of flour and uses a French stick as a majorette baton. Executive producers Ted Tannenbaum, David Madden, Gary Lucchese, Ellie and Fisher, both on their mobiles, run down a street, then stop and kiss. Director of photography Stuart Dryberg. Father.